Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
In the Broadway and movie versions of George Bernard Shaw's play Pygmalion, flower girl Eliza Doolittle vents her frustration at the emphasis, not only the use of words in the proper way, but also the proper pronunciation of those words. And because the Broadway play and the movie are both musicals, she vents her frustration in a song. The song is entitled Show Me, but the first line is, "Words, words, words, I'm so sick of words." Then she goes on to say about her teachers, Professor Higgins among them, "Is that all you blackguards can do?" I can sympathize with Eliza Doolittle when it comes to words and their proper usage and how strict the rules can be regarding this. In my capacity as a member of the editorial board of the Human-Animal Bond Research Initiative, the different terminologies used by the different disciplines can be a major source of frustration, and it's a source of frustration for all of us. As far as I know, none of us have ever referred to each other as blackguards, but that doesn't mean that the words sometimes don't get in the way of the meaning. But while that's frustrating enough, there's another part of this. And the other part of this has to do with those people who want to measure both the human and the animal response to the same situation. Obviously, the human response is going to be biased by that person's knowledge and experience. So that's one problem. Additionally, the way a psychologist perceives that particular situation and the results may differ from the way a sociologist perceives it, or an evolutionary biologist, or an evolutionary psychologist. When we throw animals into the mix, things start to get more complex. One of the reasons for this is a lack of knowledge of normal animal behavior. Because of this, we get into strange situations where the bond between an animal and a person may be measured using parameters that are more emotional than realistic. For example, suppose I said that when a person came into their home, how much energy a dog put into their display was a function of how attached that dog was to the owner. From an ethological standpoint, that may or may not be true. There may be multiple factors that can affect that greeting. For example, an old dog who has arthritis may be well past his day of racing to the door to greet the owner. Does that mean that that dog is less attached to the owner than the dog who races to the door to greet the owner because the dog has to pee so bad he can hardly stand it? Probably not. Then there are all those dogs whose exuberant greetings are actually a form of fear response, the so-called tend befriend fear response. These dogs are so excited because they're desperate to have their owners establish eye contact with them. In certain circumstances, that can solidify a human-canine role reversal in that relationship that may or may not have anything to do with love at all. This isn't to say that these measurements don't measure some kind of bond, but the other problem with some of these rating scales is that they seem to equate the word bond with love. I can appreciate this because many, many years ago when I first started writing about the bond, that's what I did too. But there can be bad bonds, just as there can be good bonds. These studies imply that there is some question whether the human and the animal involved in the relationship have the same magnitude of feeling toward each other. And that's as it should be, because it may not always be the case. Human-animal bonds are like human-human bonds. Sometimes one or the other has more invested in the relationship and feels more strongly about the other. Ideally, they share the same degree of attachment, whether it's a great attachment or a uniformly weaker one. We're so hampered by our words. Many times those in the humanities point to our ability to use language as evidence of our species' superiority. But sometimes those words can get in the way of thinking.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.